Okay, everybody, now we're back and I'm focused on the T-theory super cycles. It's updated as of April of 09. And again, we're not going to look at the oscillator for much guidance here. There's a more information in the channels. You remember back that when I first did this, I was thinking of a scenario. And let me tell you what the answer is. I have very kindly gotten one of the top people in the data daily database, which goes from 1926 to the present, all nice and clean, which I can now I can do all my short range T's and other intermediate T's and so forth going back to that time period. And it seemed to me that that was good enough because in the oscillator, we saw in the year 2007 a speculative over. In 2000, a speculative overbought level in the oscillator, which was the same as 1929. So that, to me, kind of looked like the worst case. And so I was looking for, when I developed this forecast about going down into the 2010 period, a fast decline, which for the case of this history, 29, the 32 one, was basically a little over 2.5 years. It's 32 months. And so I was looking for a decline that would be about that length of time from the 07 peak, which would carry me back into that time period. Also, a well-known four-year cycle low would have a low in there, and I never thought any more of that because it looked like the 1929. I had the data and so forth. However, if you look at the channel, and remember, this is the idea: is you, instead of using equations to bring the channel, you just draw a red line across where you see the tops. You bring a green line that has to be parallel, because that's the way channel construction always turns out to be. And then in the midline, you draw a black line, and we end up with the same sort of envelope theory. You can see that the black line turns out to be kind of an overhead resistance level, because after the decline into from I guess it's 1835 down into coming into the 1850 numbers on that chart. All the rallies had trouble resistance at the black line, which is in the middle of the channel, and it had trouble all the way up until it broke into the burst into the 1929 top, and then when it came out of the 32 depression, you see it ran into trouble at the rising tops that. Kind of got through it a little bit on the way up, going up into the 60s, and it fell away into 1974-82, and when it came out, it popped through, and then at that sharp drop is the 87 crash. So you could say the 87 crash was it ran into resistance at the mid-channel. It finally clawed above it, and it got to the top, and now the question is, that's the red, and it went down to the B, which is the middle of the channel, roughly the middle of the channel is about 7,000, and the lower channel is roughly 3,500. So the question is it going to go to the B, which would be the 7,000 level, or is it going to go to 3,500, which is the green, the G level? Well, it's very possible that all you're seeing is some kind of temporary downside resistance to correspond to the upside resistance. And if you go back to the, I'm not sure this would be about 1940, but there's a top, and I think it's 1835. It's discussed in the longer where it came down to the, what in retrospect is the black line. And it bounced up off of it, and then it fell through again. The interesting thing about that decline, which I had not thought of, is that's a 6.5 year decline, or it's a 6 year decline. The 2932 is only 2.5, a little over 2.5 years. So my proposal here is to what's going on is we're in one of these long declines that's going to take 6 years to be completed. We already did the cycle forecast. We know that there's a 39 years from the top, the 29 to the 68 to the 2007. That's 39 years, and if you take that across the bottom. We have a low around 2013-14, something in that range. So that's what my pace, that's where I differ really, is that I just think it's going to take a long time, and you hit the black line and you want to bounce off it, and you're going to make it a small advanced decline T, and it's really going to be small because if you look at the chart down there, you can see that the oscillator just went sort of almost straight down, and it's going to pop up somewhat, But it's very likely to be what happened after the 1835 top, where you make a nice recovery, and you know, everybody gets hopped up and they think the problem's gone away, and then it turns around and it goes under the Great Line and goes and continues on down to what would be the lower channel bound. So that's where we differ on the problem. The channel theory I like about this is that you get the same support and resistance levels just by putting the envelopes around and then drawing the black line, and you can sort of smell problems. The rally that we're supposed to have here is just the inverse of the 87 crash, where you bounced down off of it. You just bounce up off of it, and it's likely to be one of those things that doesn't last very long. It will dissipate, and then you'll eventually go down and go through it. So that just rounds out the envelope theory as far as I wanted to talk about today. But when I saw this, of course, problem from a business standpoint, I began to wonder what the option is, because it's clear when you look at the problem of speculation, when you have a big speculative peak, you almost never see a recovery in that which was being speculated on. So, for example, if you go to the 2000 peak, and you look at Microsoft and Cisco, for example, they're all stocks that are trading around $100. The market went down. They never came back up in the last bull market into 07. They traded around $20, and now they've been hammered down again. They're still trading around $20. And if you look at the S&P return from 2000, it's basically zero. And the question is, how long is this going to, how long is this subnormal performance going to last? Well, we came up with a number. It's 2013, 14, 15-ish. And so you say, well, what are investors going to do? Well, it turns out investors, the biggest investment is their house, okay? So you look at 07. They had the biggest speculation. We discussed that in earlier ones. That's going to probably decline for the next, or stay down for the next 10 years. So when you look at people from the standpoint of their financial well-being, which is you can't really find out how they're ever going to prosper. The 401k will bounce back, but nobody's ever going to really be that interested in putting more money into it. In some cases, they'll just sell into it, the strength. And in the case of they're caught with their wealth in the house, they're going to very likely to have 10 years of bad performance on that one. And then you look at this decline as being a deflationary trend. The unemployment rate, they're worried about 10%. Well, they'd be lucky if they don't end up having to put up with some somewhat higher numbers. And it could be 20% as per the 30s. So you ask the question, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Well, in my opinion, the problems that you have is people are always hoping for the best outcome. If you were to go back to the year 07 or to 2000 and tell somebody that speculation was going to be a big problem and you were going to change the era, which is really the 40-year cycle, saying it's all over, after you've had 30 years, they wouldn't believe you, and they would say it can't happen. Well, now nobody's going to say that it can't happen because they've already seen it happen. So the next best thing that they're hoping for is the fast bear market that gets you out of the trouble. In other words, let's just take the market down hard, clean it all out, and get things going on the upside and get back to normal. That's an okay argument if you think you can do it in a short period of time, and that's what they're hoping for, is they clean it all out, and then we've got a big buy point, we'll put some money in the market, we'll make a lot of money going back up. But if it's a 6.5-year bear market that you're in, that's eventually just going to drop you down into levels, all you're in is an attrition market with no hopes of making money. So if you have poor income prospects, poor prospects for growth in your house, poor prospects for the 401k, the question is, what are you going to do over 6.5 years in time? That is the kind of war that you're going to lose in attrition. Remember when the Iraq War first started, it looked good. There was going to be a short war. That's fine. Now that's been dragged out for 6 years. And so you just keep pouring money down a rat hole. Problem for investors is that they can't get a rate of return, and their fixed living expenses keep draining them of what is a diminishing reserve because their investments are going down and some diminishment in the prospects for employment. So the question is, how are you going to – the worst case, which is what I think what you're going to get, is that you're just going to have a bear market that's lousy for 6 years. And so taking that, I concluded that the only strategy out was to abandon the stocks and go to the high-yield bond strategy, which is why I invented that one, because that was a direct result of the conclusion that you're in an attrition decline and you can't do anything on the upside. So far, that's really what is propping up the bullish case, because it is a confidence indicator and it is very resistant to decline, easy to go up. So I think that you know, big money does believe that you're going to have the turn coming around. And you know, the short-term talk about these problems is just short-term talk and the speculation in the media. The other thing that I haven't talked about, but I'll just make a few comments now, is on the gold issue. Gold did very well in the inflation period times, but in a deflation period, really the best thing you can say about gold is that it's a store of value, not necessarily a big money maker. If you look at the statistics, in 2008, you had the world came right to the edge, and if you look at gold stocks, which are mining companies, they're down for that whole year, you know, like 30%. And so, you know, everybody knew that you were going under and potentially big time, and nobody bought mining stocks. For calendar 2008, the price of bullion was up 2%. So you could mostly say that if you bought it before the crisis and then, you know, you got out of the crisis, you probably had a store of value. But in order to do that, you have to own the physical metal. So you're caught in the same trap. You can store, you can hold value, but you can't get any income off the gold because it's a gold bar. Whereas most people, in my opinion, finally, when the wolf comes to the door, they just need income, and they have to do something. One of the things they're going to have to do is, as far as investors, they'll all turn into traders. And I thought the concept of hitting the price levels is good, because that's, you know, you buy the price, and if it goes down, you put a stop in it, and you already know what the price numbers are. So you have inside information on that, and you just pop through that way. Or you have to take something that's in the bond market, which is basically a high-income vehicle, and try to capture it in the right circumstances and make enough money, and the bounce is up, that you can usually the companion to that is to go to treasury bills or something like that. So anyway, I think it's just the problem in the long term is to forget about this some magical decline, and everything is all taken care of by the time you get to 2010, and you're just going to keep sinking lower and lower into the non-performance of traditional investments, no matter how they do, and that is really, it's like walking into quicksand. You can't get out of it, you know, once you go into it, and there's no real ability to bounce. Okay, it's hard to get things to bounce now, because there's nobody believes in it, and there's no mechanism for the bounce. Okay, so anyway, so on that optimistic note for the future, I think we'll just call it quits for today. I hope you had a good weekend, and next week I'll probably be starting into the renovation of the site. We have other little categories to put up, and I can talk about that next week. Thanks for checking in, and we'll see you again next Sunday. Bye-bye.